Wild Card Wednesday, man. Yeah, man. Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Mike from Michigan requesting Edgar Winter Band, Frankenstein. Yeah, man. Back in the days when you could release an instrumental and it would sell. Yeah. Didn't they use that in one of the Wayne's World movies?
Yes, I think you're right.
Esmeralda, you would know. You're Johnny Wayne's World.
I don't remember all the music.
No. Because I think it's in Wayne's World, one of the Wayne's World movies, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Edgar Winter Band.
Yes.
Frankenstein.
Oh, maybe he was. Did he do a cameo?
Edgar Winter?
Yeah.
I know Alice Cooper did in the first one.
Wikipedia says Wayne's World 2.
God, why would I remember something from Wayne's World 2? There were a lot of cameos in Wayne's World 2, weren't there? Because I know that Alice Cooper's in the first one.
Yeah, they have a lot because they at least have Aerosmith.
Because they had weren't they at like a festival or something?
Yeah, they have all the bands show up.
Right. And Walken's in the second one, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
And so is Rip Taylor.
Oh, really? I love Rip Taylor. Why didn't I remember that Rip Taylor
was
in?
Have him wandering through the audience throwing confetti.
Well, that's what Rip Taylor does.
Yeah.
You remember Rip Taylor in the first Jackass movie?
I do not.
Oh, man, come on. Rip Taylor rules. He hosted a show, Esmeralda, you probably don't remember it. He hosted a show called the $1.98 Beauty Pageant. And they would have women in like do a beauty pageant. He was the host, and the winner would get $1.98.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a Chuck Barris production. The late Chuck Barris, you know, who produced, you know, Newlywed Game, Dating Game, Gong Show, all that. That's the $1.98 Beauty Pageant. Rip Taylor was your host. You remember his serious role, Dan, where he actually didn't have the toupee on and didn't throw confetti and did not curl up his mustache to look like a loon?
I didn't know Rip Taylor had that side to him.
He was in Indecent Proposal. And, of course, I mean, the only thing I really remember from that movie is Demi Moore. That's about it. And Woody Harrelson was in it, and Robert Redford, but he's in it, Rip Taylor, and I can't remember what part he played, but his head was bald, he didn't have the crazy toupee on, yeah, so I don't know how he got the role, not real sure, but. So, all right, we were just talking about going on guided tours and stuff throughout the city, and they're a lot of fun. And Chicago Detours is really cool. They do great stuff. Amanda's really terrific. And I was wondering where you guys take people that come from out of town, you know, and it's kind of off the beaten path stuff. Like, obviously, you know, you want to go to Millennium Park now and, you know, Michigan Avenue and all those places that, you know, you do the tourist Navy Pier. Have you guys ever gone to Navy Pier just to go to Navy Pier? Just to go? Because the only time I've ever gone to Navy Pier ever was to go to IMAX Theater. That's the only, because nobody, Chicagoans don't go to Navy Pier. Like, you don't go, hey, let's go to Navy Pier. You don't, you like your friends, your locals here from Chicago don't sit around and go, yeah, no, good idea, let's go down to Navy Pier.
Yeah, I worked it when I was working for The Zone.
Yeah!
We were there every Thursday. And I was just like, I don't know why people come here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. The Shakespeare Theater's great. Like you said, if you're going to something.
Yeah, the Shakespeare Theater, yeah, absolutely.
But just to
hey, let's go to the Ferris wheel and hang out at the Billy Goat in Navy Pier. I've been to Navy Pier. The only other times that I've been to Navy Pier besides to go to a theater or to IMAX was I had friends who worked the Children's Museum. They were actors, and they would do interactive stuff on that stage right outside of the The children's, you know what I'm talking about? The children's museum.
They do it like every hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had actor friends of mine in that, and we would come down sometimes just to goof them.
I used to show previews for movies.
Okay.
And in the summer, we would carry a portable DVD player. So we would go to Navy Pier.
To show trailers and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And get in like market research stuff.
Yeah.
On the sly, because I guess technically we weren't supposed to be there. Our bosses actually at one point told us, like, if they ever ask you who we are, tell them we're like movie magic something or other.
And oh, I'm so
like,
lie?
Oh,
about,
okay.
Oh, so lie about where you're from?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But one of those actors like yelled at us, like, what are you doing here? I'm like, what do you care?
Yeah, man. Some of those people, man. You know, my friends played pirates. They did the pirate show at Navy Pier. So they would come out and do like the pirate thing, and then they'd walk around Navy Pier and go, "Arr," you know, and in costume. And yeah, I knew three or four people from this specific pirate troop, and we would come down and watch them and goof on them. So that's funny though. So you were one of those people standing outside the theater going, "Hey, look at this trailer." You told me that before.
Yeah. Be like, "Hey, do you want to see a preview for a new movie?"
And then you fill out
take
a little
60 seconds.
Then you fill out a little thing.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I you know where they had that all the time?
The Century?
Yep.
Mhm. Century, Ford City. We were also at the Webster for a bit. The one on Western.
Yeah, the City North.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're at a lot of places.
I think the Century was the one where I got hit up the most.
That's where our main office was.
Oh,
so.
Okay. There you go. So I may have actually been, you know, approached by you at some point.
Maybe.
To watch a trailer.
Although you do work in, I think they have that question, like, do you work in
Oh, right.
Media?
I'm ineligible. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, you could say no.
Right. Right. So well, they don't do that anymore, do they?
I don't.
You know what? You don't
I'm
have to.
I'm not sure if they do what they do exactly. They do some form of it, I think.
But, you know, you don't need to do that anymore because you just go to a trailer's debut on the internet immediately. I mean, you could watch, like, you could sit in front of your computer and watch 5 hours worth of trailers for new movies.
Right, but someone needs to ask you,
you
questions.
You need the feedback?
Yeah, that's what they wanted.
I think that's why they, you know, they, like, they encourage people to write in the comment sections when they watch these things, you know?
Yeah, because they would ask you, what did you like about it?
Right.
What didn't you?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, all right. What can you remember any of the movies that you showed trailers for?
One was a Meg Ryan movie. The boxing Meg Ryan movie.
Where she was
that?
Like a coach?
Yeah. She was like a manager
oh,
or something.
Yeah. What was the name of that movie?
What we did that one.
Okay.
Oh man, we did a lot of kids movies.
Mm-hmm.
The rope.
Against the
there
ropes.
The ropes.
I remember specifically they had us do this at Ford City, and it was just funny. The answers that we were getting was the Seinfeld box set.
Oh.
So we would show the commercial for it, and then we would you see this? And at Ford City. It's an audience that would not really watch Seinfeld.
No.
So it was just funny. They're like,
no.
I wouldn't see
that. Not in it's funny the difference that would be, though, if you did that at Navy Pier.
Oh, yeah.
That would be every single person would say yes. Or if you did it at Century or Webster.
We were also here at the AMC.
The River East?
No.
Oh, the 600 North?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were there, too.
Okay. How long did you do that?
Oh, my gosh. Maybe 2 or 3 years.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it got me through college. It was nice because I only worked weekends.
Well, that's cool.
But we were paid on commission, so.
Oh.
So each survey we got.
Always be ABC. Always
right?
be closing.
So if we were hustling, especially in the summer, it was the best because you get to go to festivals and
right.
go out to the people.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's what I want to get from you guys. Where do you take your friends or family when they come in from out of town? And but off the beaten path, like what restaurants would you take people to? What bars would you take people to that came in from out of town? What are your favorite places that you really want to show your friends who are coming in that best represents what you love about Chicago? And 312-981-7200. The phone lines are open. 312-981-7200. We will take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll get your phone calls and your texts at 312-981-7200 and talk about what you love about Chicago and what do you show for people when they come into town. Welcome back, everybody. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man. 312-981-7200. Fly Jam Bob brings us with has our Wild Card Wednesday. That's the Beatles with Soldier of Love. We were talking about rare Beatles last week. And this was never included on an album, so Bob picked that one, Soldier of Love by the Beatles. All right. Hey, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Where do you take people coming in from out of town, but not the touristy stuff? What are your favorite restaurants to take people? What neighborhoods do you like to take people to? Kind of off the beaten path. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Dan, is there any place that you take people to eat or you go out? Anything that you guys like to do?
Yeah, so we've actually done this. And when you hear the list, you'll know it was a couple years ago. But we would go to lunch at Hot Dogs. Mm-hmm. We would have dinner at Gale Street. Mm-hmm. We'd have ice cream at Margie's. We'd take them out on the town. And then when that inevitably went the way those nights typically went, we'd go to Carol's.
And
we'd make them take a shot of Malort since they should experience all Chicago in its glory.
I would like to point out that, Esmeralda, I would like to point out that Dan's first shot of Malort ever was done in this studio.
Aww.
I had one of the representatives from Malort on to talk about some, like the celebration. This was when I was still a drinking man.
They had made a 10-minute documentary about it, not in the celebration. Yeah.
As part of it, so they made a documentary, so they had the guy in. And the guy who came in was a guy that I had met at Ricochet's, who was like a regular there. And he was like one of the main dudes at Malort. So he came in, and we talked about it, and then he brought me a bottle, and he brought a bottle, so we can do a shot. And as soon as we finished the interview, Dan came in, and we poured three shots of Malort, and we're like, all right, cheers, boom, we do the shot. And that was about, at that time, it was probably my 850th shot of Malort that I've had in my life. So it didn't faze me. But as soon as I saw Dan's face, and Esmeralda, being a bartender from Chicago, that face. That face the first time someone takes a shot of Malort. And Dan made that face. And he didn't have to say a word. He made that face, and I went, that was your first shot of Malort, wasn't it? He's like, yeah. I was like, damn it. If I knew that, we should have done it on the air. So, because it was right after the interview, we were in the news and we did the shot, And but yeah, that's something. Yeah, that's Chicago though, man. So two of those places are closed down now. Carol's and Hot Dogs.
Yeah.
Two of those places are closed now. So yeah. All right. Esmeralda, any places that you like to, take people to?
I for sure take them to Sunwa, which is Broadway and Argyle. Amazing Chinese food.
Yep.
And it depends on who the type of person is. If they like to do cocktail-y stuff, I like to take them over to, Tiny Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we gonna get real fancy, go to Lost Lake. Or Three Dots and a Dash.
Mm-hmm.
Or I take them to my old bar, Hungry Brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I was still a bar hopping man, Simon's was always, at the top of the list. And I still think people, when they come to town, should go to Simon's, especially if you're coming to town around Thanksgiving or the holidays, because that way that you can get the glug that that they make homemade there. But Simon's is always on the top of the list. And I know it's a very touristy place, but the Green Mill is one of my favorite spots in this city.
Oh, but that place is so good. Considered touristy, it's still pretty.
It's beautiful. It's got so much history. And it's just, it's damn cool. And
some good jazz.
Great music, all that stuff, I really miss that place. I miss that place terribly. So that was always like, as far as like food goes, obviously Gale Street is, for me, that's like the quintessential Chicago, place to eat. In terms of, like, you know, like, hey, Chicago loves these, neighborhood loves it, everybody loves it. That's like usually the first place that I would take somebody, Gale Street. And, you know, if there is, it would be cool if there were like a show at, like, you know, the Aragon or you know, the Riviera, if those, you know, just to take them to one of those places, you know, in that area is pretty cool.
But you know what I, in the summer, also Montrose Beach.
Yeah, Montrose Beach.
Montrose Harbor. Gorgeous. Yeah,
it's beautiful. You know what's underrated is Foster.
Yeah.
Foster Beach. Because I used to live, like, you know, as you guys know, I lived in Andersonville for a long time. And it was just, you know, I lived at Foster and Ashland, essentially. And it wasn't very far to get to the lake from there. And it's a beautiful beach.
I really enjoy all the beaches from Hollywood North.
Yeah, I agree with you.
They're all really cool. You kind of have to try to find them.
There are so many great, like, beautiful condos and stuff and high rises to live in Rogers Park, and you're right on the beach.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's not grody. The beaches aren't grody, like, sorry, but North Avenue is.
Yeah, North. Well, North Avenue is the one where everybody goes. You know what I mean? Like, every goofball in the nation goes there, and they bring all their garbage and cigarette butts with them. You know, they leave cans and bottles and stuff all over the place. Yeah, North Avenue Beach, not, you know, I'm not a big beach guy, you know?
Yeah, ditto. I just sit in it.
Yeah.
But I won't get in the water. Or
yeah, I'm not like a big beach, like, hey, let's go out and, you know, and hang out on the beach. No. I mean, I'll go and I'll look. I prefer them during, like, when it's colder out. I prefer to go to the beaches then.
Yeah. But that's kind of the beauty of Montrose Harbor, because there's a nice bit where there's the lake, but it's grass.
Yeah.
And so you can have a little picnic.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. What other cool things about Chicago do you guys like? Offbeat stuff. 312-981-7200. We got a break here for the news. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200, 773 area code. Wanted to hear the original version of Strawberry Letter 23 by Sugar Otis. There you go. Yeah. Brothers Johnson covered that. And then I love the Brothers Johnson version. It's great. All righty, then. So we're talking about sort of non-touristy places that you take people when they come to Chicago, restaurants and, you know, bars and cool places that you would take them that aren't necessarily, you know, very touristy. But, 312-981-7200. Here's Jim on WGN. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Nick. Love your show. Love your crew.
Thank you.
All right. When I have people come in from out of town, mostly relatives, and that, I give them the Undercity tour. I start them off over off Ohio Street and let them run down past the Billy Goat Tavern. We go across the bridge, run them down Lower Wacker Drive, come out on the other end, and I take them over to Maxwell Street and have a Polish at Jimmy's.
There you go. There you go. It's a little Maxwell Street's a little different than it used to be, though, back in the day.
It is.
Man, oh, man.
They put Jimmy's over on the frontage road there off the expressway, but back in the day, that was the spot, but it's still there. And
yeah.
I don't care what time it is. You can go there and have a Polish at 4 in the morning if you want.
Yeah, sounds right. All right, Jim, thanks, man.
Still good. All right, man, you take her easy.
Take care. All right, there you go. Yeah, Maxwell Street, boy, that place has completely changed than when I was a kid. Yeah. Let's see. You know, another thing is the museums here in Chicago are definitely worth seeing. I know that's very touristy, but if you come to Chicago and you don't go to the Art Institute, then that's wrong.
Okay, this is a perfect time to throw this in.
Yeah.
Speaking of museums, if you want an off the beaten, much different experience than the art museum, which is phenomenal, one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
Go to Wicker Park and the Flatiron Building.
Oh, yeah.
There are 50 units there. 10 of them are local artists who live in the building. And then there's, almost 40 other units, all local artists. Amazing experience. It's a different experience and very local.
That's a good suggestion. It's a great and if we all remember correctly, Vic used to live in the Flatiron.
Used to live in that building, and it's not uncommon to be walking through there and some local musician, maybe a college student's playing a cello in there, and somebody playing a violin with them, and it's really cool.
Yeah, that's the heart of Wicker Park. Right there at the Flatiron Building. And, yeah, it's a great place. I've been there. I'm lucky enough to have been there many times. And I still can't believe you live there. That's so cool that you lived in the Flatiron Building.
It was a fun time, yeah.
I bet it was, man. I bet it was. That's a good suggestion, Vic. Let's see. Chicago is a mecca for world-class museums, but it's also home to some nifty, niche exhibits like the Busy Beaver Button Museum. What? I don't know. Dan, are you aware of the Button Museum?
I am, only because Mike Steven did it a while back.
He did the Busy Beaver Button Museum and the Wall of Bad Art at the Hotel Lincoln. Those are some of the places where you can take people that are a little bit off the beaten path.
I haven't been to this place, and I've been wanting to go for a while, is the Surgical Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Up on, what is that? It's over by Lakeshore Drive.
Right, right. I've not been there either, but I've heard about it. I've heard it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And if you walk around, then there's all those big old pretty houses.
Yeah. Yep. Steve, the limo driver, says the Red Apple at Milwaukee and Devon. Milwaukee and Devon. Why am I blanking on Milwaukee and Devon would be pretty far west at that point. Dan, what's at Milwaukee and Devon? What else is, because you don't live very far from Milwaukee and
Devon. Is that Polish food?
The Red Apple?
Yeah.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a couple great Polish restaurants right in that area. Milwaukee and Devon is Superdog. That's the big...
Superdog, and there's like a Dom or a Jewel or something right there,
yeah,
too?
It used to be a Dominick's.
It's a what?
The Red Apple Buffet.
Red Apple Buffet.
Yeah,
Milwaukee.
But it's all, European.
Right. European Red Apple Buffet. That sounds cool. And the Forest Preserve is right there, too.
The Forest Preserve is right there as well, yeah.
Okay. 847 area code. The first time my friend from Rome came to visit, I took her to Jameson's in Mount Prospect. It's now her favorite place for steaks. Was Orion there? Um. 847 area code. When my younger brother would visit during a break from college, he and his buddies always wanted to go to a taping of Jerry Springer. I still shake my head. He's now a cop. Great show as usual. Thank you. 773 area codes. People I know from out of town always want to go to White Castle. Yeah, because White Castle is not everywhere. You know, when they made the movie, Esmeralda, Harold and Kumar, mm-hmm. as we talked about, one of the greatest eating scenes in the history of film is when they finally get to the damn place and eat. And as we were saying a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about it, if you do not want to go to White Castle and eat like a pig after you see that movie, there's something wrong with you. Because that's that scene where they're just, it's the best.
I mean, I want to go now.
I know. Remembering the scene makes you want to go to White Castle. But it's funny because when that movie came out, there were a lot of people across the country who were like, what the hell is White Castle? They had no idea what White Castle was. I mean, we did because we've had White Castle in the city forever. But it's not located everywhere.
Yeah, in California, I think you can get them frozen.
Yeah, I think you can get them frozen. You can get them frozen everywhere, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
But
they don't have the restaurants. Yeah. All right. Here's Donna on WGN. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hi.
For museums, nobody mentioned in Hyde Park the Oriental Museum, which just reopened. And they have one of the best Middle Eastern exhibits in the country, because that's where the archaeologists used to come from.
Right, right.
But for food, oh my goodness, you take them to Big Al's over on Taylor, walk across the street for Italian lemonade, then you spoil them rotten by walking them over to Ferrara's, sitting down for some cappuccino and getting them a second dessert.
Yeah, everything... In Little Italy, Chicago is great. Everything on Taylor Street, man. I mean, that's
getting them out of the loop and into a real Chicago neighborhood.
Yeah, it's true. Those are great suggestions. All right, Donna, thank you.
You take care.
Take care. Bye. Yeah. You got to love Taylor Street. Here's another quick, speaking of eating, it says the taste of Chicago will always be near and dear to the city's heart, but the city's dozens of summer food fests offer cravings without the crowds. The Pilsen Food Truck Social. Have you gone to that one, Esmeralda? I know you like going to the food truck
I
stuff.
I haven't.
Lakeview Taco Fest and Rib Fest in the North Center neighborhood, just to name a few. Those are great ones. I've not been to the Lakeview Taco Fest. I've been to Rib Fest many times, but I've never been. Have you been to the Lakeview Taco Fest, Esmeralda?
I don't think so.
So, yeah. I remember one year when I was working. This is 1982, I guess. 82, summer of 1982, and I was a McDonald's employee, a high school student slash McDonald's employee who was dating my much older manager. I've told you guys this story before. It's just ridiculous. You know, my much older manager at McDonald's who had a child. And that worked out real well. That was the year that McDonald's, if you can believe this, McDonald's had a tent at Chicago, at Taste of Chicago. Like, why would you know why? And here's exactly why. You guys, you ready for why? That's where they debuted chicken nuggets. So it was a brand new item. Nobody knew what chicken McNuggets were.
Oh, man.
And they debuted it at Taste of Chicago, and my girlfriend slash manager worked the tent. She was working the tent, slinging McNuggets for people. But people were just eating them. I mean, they sold tons of them because nobody had. This was like chicken McNuggets did not exist, and they debuted. They debuted at Taste of Chicago, and people were going nuts. So, oh, you can take this nugget and dip it into a sauce and eat it. It was this whole brand new thing that no one knew about. And I'm pretty sure that was the only time that McDonald's was ever at the Taste of Chicago. And I think the only item, maybe they were serving fries and burgers too. I'm not really sure. But I know it's where they debuted the Chicken McNugget, at least in Chicago. I don't know about other territories. But in Chicago, the McNugget made its debut at Taste. And it was a real novelty. People were like, oh, wow, what's this thing? What is a chicken McNugget? So, all right. We got a break here for weather and traffic, and then we want to hear more from you guys about off-the-beaten-path places that you take people, restaurants and sightseeing places, really cool places in Chicago that you love to show off when people come to town.
It was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, the loveliest of all was the unicorn. Now God seen some sinning, and it gave him pain, and he says, stand back, I'm going to make it rain. He says, hey, brother Noah, I'll tell you what to
do. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Any song, any artist, anything, 312-981-7200. Kathy requested the Irish Rovers with the Unicorn song. Do either of you guys know why, I guess if you're of a certain age and you lived in Chicago, you would know that song?
No idea.
Daniel?
Not here. None.
Sorry?
Do not know.
Oh. Why don't we have somebody call in and tell us why? 312-981-7200. Why would Chicagoans of a certain age, around my age, maybe a little bit younger or older, would absolutely know that song? The Irish Rovers, the Unicorn song. 312-981-7200. Why would we definitely, local Chicago people, know that song? And I knew it wouldn't take very long. I knew it wouldn't take very long for the phones to light up. Okay. and all the phones are lit. As we go, let's go. Let's just let's have Nick tell everybody. Nick, why would everybody of a certain age who grew up in Chicago know that song?
Well, you got to know that that was from Ray Rayner, and when he went into a segment with Dr. Leslie Fisher from Lincoln Park Zoo, they would play that song.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And that was for the when Leslie Fisher from the Lincoln Park Zoo, whenever they would, you know, do an animal segment or something, that's the song that they played before before that segment. And it was anybody who grew up watching Ray Rayner, you know, the minute you hear that song, you immediately are back sitting in front of the TV watching the show.
It. Yeah, and you knew it word for word.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Absolutely. All right, Nick, thanks, buddy.
Better.
There you go. Speaking of Chicago. That's a Chicago thing for you right there, the great Ray Rayner. I'll tell you, you know, you guys are too young to remember Ray Rayner, and that's just it was a different era. You know, there was a lot of back in those days, and even before that, there was a lot of local programming on local channels. You know, we're basically kind of just down to Sven now, you know, doing that kind of thing. But all the morning stuff that was on WGN on Channel 9 was just so great, and Ray Rayner was my favorite. But, yeah, that's the song he'd play whenever he'd visit the Lincoln Park Zoo. He would play the Unicorn Song by the Irish Rovers. as soon as we came out of that commercial, Dan, and that song started, I immediately pictured the video that they showed. They had, like, a video intro of animals and stuff that they showed every single time they did that segment. And it immediately popped into my head as soon as I heard that song. Like, my childhood came rushing back to me. All right. How about this one? The Chicago Tribune suggests that you get gardeny. For a local twist on some of the city's favorite floral attractions, plan your visit around an event like the Garden Chef Series at the Chicago Botanic Garden or Garfield Park Conservatory's annual Drinks Under Glass event, which is on May 18th.
I took Eileen to Lincoln Park Conservatory for Mother's Day last year, and it was a lovely time.
Yeah.
It's just a great area.
You know, I went out to my ex-wife, Heather, was a big garden person, still is, and now she's got, like, a massive garden. She lives in, you know, Medford, Oregon now. She's got, like, a lot of room in her backyard. She's got a big garden. We used to have a garden. We lived together. We lived in a condo on the third floor in Chicago in Albany Park. And the damn squirrels ate whatever we were trying to grow on the porch. So now she's in all her glory. She's got, like, a ton of stuff here. But I went out to the I'd never been to the Chicago Botanic Gardens before. That place is pretty amazing. Esmeralda, have you been out there?
I haven't yet. I really want to go with my mom.
It's really amazing. My favorite part, I mean, all of it is, it's really beautiful, and you can check it out. My favorite part are the vegetable patches, where they're growing, like, giant vegetables and stuff. That, to me, was the coolest stuff there. Now, all the flowers and the plants, all that stuff is really lovely and really cool. But I just thought all the vegetable stuff was outstanding. I was looking at that stuff for, like, a day. I was just like, let's stay here for a while. Okay, we got a break. And, yeah, we'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next. And then more unusual places to take your friends to show off Chicago. That's all coming up right after this. What the hell is this? Why do I feel like we're summoning Satan by playing this? Why, doesn't it sound like some sort of ritualistic? Shouldn't there be, like, a large group of people with hoods standing in a circle?
We may have all just been hypnotized.
Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, any song. Dan, you want to take a crack at what this is?
Prison Colin Sinacusel.
By Adriano Celentano. All right. 312 area code. It's Wildcard Wednesday, everybody. I think we opened up a portal to hell by playing that, quite frankly. I think... you know, you ever see The Evil Dead? I think we just read from the Necronicon. I think that's what just happened.
According to Wikipedia,
Yeah.
Mr. Celentano's purpose was to explore communication barrier by creating a song of pure gibberish.
Yeah, because I thought the last lyrics were hip knock-a-lack-a poodle toodle.
That's why I think he did that on purpose so that we could open the portal to hell. I think that's what we just did. Unknowingly. Esmeralda, do you feel possessed at all?
I mean, we were pretty close
yeah.
before, so it's not even.
I don't know what to say there.
I'm watching a video of his,
uh-huh.
and it's just, he's like in front of a classroom, but he's getting down.
He's boogieing?
Yeah.
Adriano Celentano. All right. Learn something new every Wednesday here on the Nick DiGilio Show. Ha ha! All right. If any demons show up in there, Dan, let me know, all right?
You got it.
Yeah. Even if Bruce Campbell shows up, you know we're all screwed.
When you approach the stage for your Walk in Fame induction, is that the song that's going to be playing
yeah.
over the speakers?
Yeah, that's the one.
That got to be cool.
According to the other induction ceremonies, we don't walk onto the stage. I think all of us who are being inducted are sitting there.
Well, at some point you have to walk on the stage.
Yeah.
It might not be broadcast.
But I think we're all walking. I think we're all walking on the stage and sitting. And I don't think everybody else who's being inducted wants that damn song playing when they walk.
Someone's going to carry Nick onto the stage.
Who would be strong enough to do it? It's got to be Orion, right?
I mean, it's going to be four people.
Orion could pick me up and throw me onto the stage. So...
All the traffic people are arriving by car.
Yeah.
Oh, I would think helicopter.
Yeah, Baldy's son will.
Baldy's son right. will be, yeah. he'll show up via helicopter.
Lincoln Estate Trooper's car.
Yeah. So.
Mathis would do a helicopter, too. He spent
sure.
a lot of time
Mathis was in
the,
and yeah. he was in the sky, eye in the sky, at Mathis. So. Yeah. All right. Adriano Celentano. Yeah, he enjoys a classroom and he boogies and we just summoned demons from hell by playing that.
That female, by the way, was his wife slash who was a singer slash actress named Claudia Mori.
Claudia Mori? Yes. Where's this guy from? Is he? Does it say?
Let's find out more. Italy. His name, you'll have to help me here, Mr. Italian.
Oh, yeah, I'm the right guy to ask about that, yeah.
His nickname was Molleggiato, which stands for the flexible one, because of his dancing.
His nickname is the flexible one?
Right. According to Wikipedia, due to his prolific career and great success, both in Italy and the rest of the world, he's considered a pillar of Italian music.
Wow. All right. Now I just feel like I don't know my heritage.
He's appeared in 40 films.
What? He's been in 40 films?
Right.
They've got to be Italian movies, right?
I'd imagine.
Yeah. Was he in Wayne's World, too? Oh, man. Thank you. My brain's almost shot out through my nostrils.
The song was written to mimic the way English sounds to non-English speakers despite being almost entirely nonsense.
Mm.
He followed it up with Reasons to be Cheerful, Part 3.
Was a whole epic saga there?
I don't know if there was a Part 1 or Part 2. I wouldn't put it past the flexible one.
Yeah. Never doubt the flexible one. The flexible one. All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Let's say hello to Patrick. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
As long as I'm not hearing that song while I'm on the 196 and Wynn, I think I'll be okay. That stretch of highway is a special portal to hell, and if that song was playing,
yeah.
I'd probably die right on the spot.
Not good. Not good.
Not good at all.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Most of the, when I would have people come visit me from out of town back in the 90s, I used to live in Rogers Park, and my sister owned a coffee shop right at Lunton Sheridan, so we'd end up there drinking iced coffees for most of the afternoon on the patio, and I would end up taking them also to the Morseland. If there was a decent show playing at the Morseland, we'd go there. One of the places I loved taking them to eat back then, I don't know what it's like now, but El Famous Burrito right up on Estes and Clark.
Yeah.
They used to have, back then they had a football-sized burrito, and it was as big as your freaking head.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now I haven't been there.
I haven't been there in a long time either, but I've been yeah. there. I've wandered through Rogers Park a lot, man. And and Morseland is a great place. Is that place still open?
I don't know. I haven't been. My sister still lives up by there, but I haven't been there in over 15 years.
Yeah,
so
it's been a long time since I've been there. But that place was great. I loved Morseland. It was a great room to great room to see a band. Great room to see a band.
It really was. I've seen some really cool bands there, you know. And I think they tried doing a comedy night there for a while. So I used to know the owners. So just from living in that neighborhood, I used to know the owners.
Sure.
They tried different things with the place. They, you know, the upstairs, you could go upstairs and shoot pool. And downstairs was where the bands were playing, where the bar was happening.
Yeah.
And I think so. When it changed owners, and one of the owners, she actually moved upstairs and closed that off. So I don't know what it's like now.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of a couple of other places we would end up, because at some point I'd have to get people to check out Delilah's over on Lincoln.
Yeah.
You know, Delilah's is another spot. And when I lived on Black Hawk and Ashland, we'd have to go to the Note. The thing was, I knew everybody at the Note, so I didn't have to pay to cover to get in.
Right.
So I'd take them to the Note. And when Wicker Dog was at the corner of the Flatiron Building, you just had to go there for a combo sandwich.
Yeah, well, that place is the Wicker Dog was the best, man.
Oh, man, that was
the
awesome.
Best. It was the best. All right, Patrick, thanks,
real
man.
Quick, real quick, Vic, do you know if House of Monsters, how long has that been closed for a while? Because I used to love going there when it was in the Flatiron Building.
I don't know if it's still there. I mean, it's been a long, long time since I've been in the Wicker Park area.
Wait, what is that?
I used to love House of Monsters. That place ruled.
Yeah,
Was it a bar or what was it? Is it a bar or what was it?
No, it was like a collectibles place. You bought movies, comics. Remember the old creepy and eerie comic book?
Yeah.
They just had all that stuff: movies, VHS.
Was it in the like? You had to go into the building, or could you see it from?
It was
out?
A store. Yeah, you had to go inside the building.
It was like up on the second and third floor. It was called House of Monsters. And it was mostly just collectibles.
If it still exists, they don't advertise.
According to Yelp, it's closed.
According to Yelp, it's closed, Patrick.
Oh, it's closed. Yeah, that place used to be. I remember finding the comic book series for Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah. No, I obviously, knowing my background, Patrick, you know I've been there a few times.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, absolutely know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, that place was awesome.
And all right.
Another thing. Remember the show The Magic Door?
Of course.
Was that a Chicago show?
No. Patrick just brought up The Magic Door. Tell everybody who used to be on that show.
That would be our colleague Bill Leff, host 10 to noon with Wendy Snyder.
And Bill Leff was on that?
He was on The Magic Door, yeah. Didn't he not know it was a Jewish show?
I believe you're right.
Yeah, I think the story is he did not know that show was aimed at Jewish kids.
Well, I didn't know that until
I didn't either.
The 80s.
I didn't either. I used to watch it because it was on TV, and I didn't know that it was. I had no idea that it was a Jewish themed show. I didn't know.
Yeah, me either. Because I remember it would be The Magic Door on Sundays, and then I would switch it to Channel 7 for Jubilee Showcase.
Right.
Now, and that was Chicago, right?
Yeah.
That was filmed in Chicago.
Yeah.
So there, DJ and Dirty Dragon also was too.
Absolutely. Yeah, classic stuff. All right, Patrick, I got to run.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Take care. All right. We got to get here for the weather and the traffic, and then we'll close out the old Chicago stuff that we'll get to. And then I'm going to tell you about some parts that were almost not taken, famous roles that were almost not taken by the actors and actresses offered to them. It's Justin Timberlake, 608 area code on Wildcard Wednesday. Rock Your Body with Justin Timberlake. Speaking of Justin Timberlake. Is in Southland Tales, and Southland Tales is being screened at the Chicago Critics Film Festival 35mm print Saturday night at 8:30, and writer-director Richard Kelly will be live there to do a Q&A afterwards. And Esmeralda, have you ever seen Southland Tales?
I have not.
It's something. That's all I can. It's something, all right. The first time I saw it, I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And then I watched it again, but it was on cable like 3 o'clock in the morning one night, and I watched it. And I, for some reason, it struck me, and I was like, "This is good." And now I love it. And I've seen it like 900 times. And I can't wait to see it back on the big screen at the Music Box Saturday night. And JT is awesome in it, and he narrates it, too. So you get a lot of JT in that movie. He's got one of the weirdest casts ever. The Rock is in it. Curtis Armstrong is in it. Wallace Shawn. Sherry O'Terry. John Lovitz. William Stifler. Stifler's in it. Nora Dunn is in it. Amy Poehler is in it. It's just such a weird movie, man. Sarah Michelle Gellar is in it. It's fantastic. I can't wait to see it again. And Richard Kelly's going to be there to answer any and all questions if you're confused by the movie. And trust me, you will be. I don't even know what the hell the movie's about. I've seen it 15 times, and I'm like, oh, okay. No idea what the hell's going on right now, but it's cool as hell. You guys should check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun on 35mm in that beautiful theater. And then Richard Kelly, you get the first question someone's going to ask him is just like he'll go up to the mic and go, "What the hell was that?" That's the first question. I saw it at the Piper's Alley Theater. It was only playing at the Piper's Alley because they dumped the movie. You know, it was only playing at the Piper's Alley Theater, which was one of the worst theaters ever. By the time it was near closing, that was just one of the worst places to see a movie ever. And I remember it was me and like two other people, and I hated it. It was when I first saw it, I hated it. And, part of it, though, might be this, Dan. I was hungover when I saw it. Mm. I remember specifically, I went to like a noon showing, and I was out a little bit too late the night before. And I was hungover, and I think that added to my displeasure of it because I was just not physically happy about being anywhere except in bed. So, anyway, it... It's going to be showing it on Saturday. It's going to be great. All right. The one last thing that we want to mention is don't forget about the Chicago River. The Chicago River is a really cool thing to check out, and it goes everywhere. You can go, like, you take a water taxi at Navy Pier. You can take it all the way down to Chinatown. You can see everything, and then check out the Chicago River. So. We got a break here. We got news coming up, and then we're going to tell you about some actors and actresses who almost turned down some famous roles that they became pretty popular for.